You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 51. Today, Evan Carter. Evan Carter's going to be joining us, but before we get Evan Carter, the outfielder for the Texas Rangers playing for the Hickory Crawdads, we need to talk about the big league club and who's coming to the big league club tonight.
Tonight, yeah. Friday, the
9th.
What was the day? The 9th? All right.
The 9th. I know. Monday's my birthday, so I'm going to be old.
The queen passed yesterday, so anyway. That shouldn't overshadow the Josh Young news. That was kind of the joke going around yesterday before we talked to him that the Queen picked a heck of a day to die. But
yeah,
we talked to him yesterday. He's got a lot going on. You know, he's nervous. He's excited. He's all those things. This is something that's been very overdue. You know, probably well past due for him. You know, he probably should have debuted last year, but he had the spring foot surgery. Everybody thought, oh, this year. No problem. He'll be up by May. Make the team out of spring training. And he had that shoulder injury before minor league camp even started. So he's been waiting a long time for this, and he's not the only one.
No,
you and I have been.
Yeah,
the organization has, the fans who follow this stuff closely have, and look, you know, this is the start. You know, he shouldn't ever go back to the minors. He's going to be the opening day third baseman next year. It's time, and I know there's a lot of upset people about him not debuting a few weeks ago, and we actually, you know, we asked him about that too, and you know, he had the right answer, of course, it's out of his control, but
right.
It's go time now.
Well, we also had on Chris Young for episode 50.
Yeah.
And he's basically, look, Josh had played he's played now 21 games at AAA. 23, whatever.
Yeah.
But he hadn't made a lot of strenuous plays at third base. He wanted to see him play so many days in a row at third base. He also hadn't had a lot of diving plays,
yeah.
Strenuous plays and stuff like that. You don't get many chances at third. I mean, I guess there could be a game where everybody hits the ball to third base. But normally, you know, you get a couple plays a game to do that. They wanted to see him doing that and making those plays, recovering, doing that. And so now they feel he's ready. I think when we first heard the news, we actually had kind of heard he was going to be coming out. Yesterday you went out there. We wondered what was going to happen with Ezekiel Duran. That's been answered now. He's gone to AAA. I applaud this. I understand why they're doing it.
Yeah, it's a tough break for Duran because he's really done nothing to
right.
to deserve it. I mean, he's pretty, I don't know, inconsistent at the plate, but he's hitting .236 or something like that. But he's been really pretty good at third base. He's got a great arm. He's sneaky fast. He's got some power in his bat.
Right.
And, you know, where the Rangers are right now, it's rebuild time still. It's time to look at these guys. Well, he's got a pretty long look. He's got 208 at-bats this season.
Right.
You know, but to just flat bench him and have him idle for the last 4 weeks of the season
doesn't work.
So, and the AAA season, it's 155 games, so they're going to the end of September.
Right.
Whereas, you know, next week, all the other seasons end. AAA will keep playing. So there are opportunity for him to get at bats, to keep working, to build something positive, to end the year, to get into the off-season program and be healthy and go through the full year and then go to camp next year and have a position to win a job. And, you know, I kind of wrote about this today in the Rangers Today newsletter, $5.99 a month, $60 a year,
$35 for half a year,
for six months. The newsletter is free every day,
right.
Monday through Friday. But, you know, he could be a super utility guy. And I know that up the middle with Seager and Semien, they don't like to take days off, but you can give him DH days and give him bats that way. Josh Young's going to need days off.
Yep.
You know, whoever's in left field, and maybe it's Duran, but whoever's in left field is going to need a day off. So, you know, there would be ways to get him at bats where he could be and put him in positions where he could really be at his best and help the team. So it's a good problem to have when you have all this talent. But when you have minor league options and you know, sometimes you get the short end of the stick.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Josh Young is the heir apparent at third base. They I think everyone knows that. That is the guy they see taking that job. He was supposed to take that job this year.
Sure.
And so you see Josh Smith come back up. Josh Smith legitimately is a super utility guy. This is a guy that plays all around the infield. He plays some outfield. Yeah. I think right now they want to see Duran still batting every day.
Yeah.
Josh Smith is easier to work him in around and do that. That's kind of my feeling coming back. I think Josh Smith's future in the league is also as a super utility guy.
Yeah.
Unless there's an injury. Also very talented guy too.
Right.
And you know, I think they want to see a little more power out of him, but I think in this regard, Duran down him up is because they want Duran to play every day and get those at bats. Smith will still get at bats every week. He's an easier guy to plug in somewhere, but you know, I think right now Duran outplayed Smith. He just did. And I love Smith. I think Smith's a talented guy. Duran needs to be playing every day.
Yeah. So Young, before I forget, he said he dove a couple times on the shoulder, including last week at Albuquerque. I think he said that was his first one. He got up and he felt fine and he knew the shoulder was fine. To what we're talking about, you know, Smith and Duran with this organization are going to be super utility guys. That doesn't mean they can't play everywhere. Can't play every day at a position somewhere else. And maybe that's ultimately what happens, you know, because the Rangers have a lot of young talent. They want to get some older talent, some pitching talent, and maybe these guys get traded. I mean, that's just a reality, you know. But, you know, Smith went to the minor leagues and did exactly what he was supposed to do. He got better. I mean, he started hitting again. Whatever, maybe it's just the difference between AAA pitching and major league pitching. But he's been really, really good down there at Round Rock. So, and that's what you want to see. You don't want to see a guy go down there and sulk and pout and feel sorry for himself. You want to see him go and do the work. Yeah. And he has earned the right to come back. And maybe this is just them Rangers being fair. You know. Trying to juggle the balance and everything between Duran and Smith, who are very good friends and former roommates. Well, you know, they get it, but it's
Let's see how Duran responds. You know, that's good. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. I mean, Smith was playing better down at AAA. Now let's see how Duran reacts to the demotion. Does he go down there and rake for the next couple of weeks also?
Sure.
So,
sure.
I mean, good. And that's great. You know, we got to talk about Nate Lowe before we I think he's solidifying his job over at first base, or at least as a bat in this lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. The defense has to be better, but the bat is exactly what the Rangers needed to see this year. And you know, Nate started out really, really well. Then he went through a long slump. And at the time he was slumping, I was writing a story about him for the Rangers program. And he was like, man, I'm getting my teeth kicked in. And I was like, all right, well, He knew at the time, and he knows now. He's still trying to establish himself. I'm like, well, what do you need to do? And he said, I have to slug. I have to hit for power. That's it. And he's got 24 home runs as we sit here today, this morning, which is a career high. His OPS is .867, I think, which would be a career high. His batting average is .306, which would be a career high. Look, he's been the Rangers' most consistent hitter. He's probably, at least in my view, the Rangers player of the year, just for what he's done with the bat. I mean, you don't get a lot of guys who hit 300, and he's got a chance to hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
It's the best season by a Rangers for first baseman since Mark Teixeira.
I was about to say, you know, when's the last time a Ranger first baseman did it?
16 years ago. So, yeah.
Hitting 300 is the one we haven't seen for a first baseman
for
in a
anybody.
While. Yeah.
I mean, a Rangers player hasn't hit 300 since 2017. So, it's obviously one of the best developments, one of the best things that could happen. And now with Young coming up, Simeon, Seager, Lowe, you might have the infield for the next 6 years.
Yeah,
you
know, 2023 at least.
Not six, but you know, Lowe is going to hit arbitration and free agency before then. Before the Simeon contract expires, but potentially the infield tonight's game and the rest of the season will be the infield to open 2023, 2024, 2025. I mean, there's a chance that what you see tonight is what you're going to get here for the next multiple seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, let's go over the Rangers and where they are right now. By the way, in case you were wondering, they have been eliminated from the AL West. They are not going to win the AL West. They are officially eliminated.
Yes.
What's their magic number?
Their elimination number is 10 in the wild card.
In the wild card. They're 17 games back in the wild card. So if you're holding hope, there is a chance. But they're 59-77 overall. They're 1-9 in their last 10. They've lost the last game. We saw that in Houston. Obviously, not the season they wanted. They are going to finish above what they did last year. Well, we hope they win at least two games in the next 25. That would put them above. They're one game away from 60, which they won last year. Obviously, we think they might get up to 70. That's a good chance.
Yeah, 70 is probably.
And 70, I think we thought they were going to do at least half, you know, five more games more than that, or two to five more games more than that. It was kind of and there's still a chance to get there if they go on some sort of run. But I don't know if that would have saved Chris Woodward's job there. I don't know. We didn't know. We didn't think it was really Chris's fault. Don't see this as really Beasley's fault. But you know what? They've made the move already. Doesn't matter where they finish now. They're looking for a manager.
Yeah, and that's obviously going to be the big story, the big next story. I mean, Josh Young is
That's the big one today.
That's probably the biggest story the rest of the year. And then, you'll see what happens with the manager. And who knows how long that's going to take. And, you know, it took the Rangers into November last time because, you know, Woodward was with the Dodgers who went to the World Series.
Right.
So,
if it's somebody on a playoff team,
exactly. And I'm sure there are guys who will be interviewed who are on playoff teams. So, got to have some patience on it. You know, it's not going to be a 2 week deal like it was with Jeff Banaschuk, unless the Rangers are just absolutely totally convinced that Tony Beasley's their guy. They could do it.
They can pull that trigger right away.
The day after the season, they can do it now. But yeah. They're not going to do that. They're going to do a search and go through the process and see if they can.
Chris Young is going to do his homework, is what he's going to do. Nothing against Beasley. He loves Beasley. It's just he wants to hear other people's ideas and go out because, look, he knows they want to compete this year.
Well, and they're already talking about these ideas. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure that they've maybe even sent out some feelers and stuff like that. So they'll try to hit the ground running, but they can only run as far as the pace of the season lets them. And of course, you know, there's the old unwritten rule, I guess, in baseball from the commissioner's office is you don't make any big announcements during the World Series.
No, during the playoffs,
You have to call and get their permission. You know, maybe you can do it on an off day or something like that, but they don't want anything to distract from the prize on the field.
So they could be doing some interviews even while teams are in the playoffs. Do that, maybe come to a conclusion, but they're not going to announce anything.
No, during the last one, the Woodward search, I wrote a story on my phone while coaching third base for my son's coach pitch team. So about the latest candidates. So it that was early October, and it just stretched and stretched and stretched. I was in Washington D.C. on vacation when they hired Chris Woodward. And I remember. When I was at the other place, I was about to go on vacation, and they're like, I said, who's going to write the story? And they said, oh, don't worry, somebody will write it. We won't call you. And of course, they called me.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just one of those things.
And Zoom calls weren't a thing then.
That's
This was pre-COVID. I remember I was covering, this is my first year doing any of this, and I was doing all of my candidates when it happened. We're going to have to get into a candidate. Once this season's over, we'll get into who the candidates are and get into all of that. Anything else for the big leagues before we get to Evan?
No, I mean, just, you know, I mentioned it once and we'll mention it again. RangersToday.com, $5.99 a month, $60 for a year, $35 for 6 months.
Which is going to be a busy offseason.
Oh, my gosh. And then subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's absolutely. And these YouTube videos are doing great. There's a video up right now of Josh Young being interviewed yesterday. Yeah. I'll try to get today. I'm going to try to get out there and hopefully get some batting practice videos and stuff like that, depending when I can break out of my office. I mean, we've all got I've got other jobs that we're working. But let's go to Evan Carter now. Let's get him on here. After that, we're going to go down in the bus league. So we'll get with Evan Carter right after this. And joining us right now from Hickory, North Carolina, it's according to Baseball America, Texas Rangers top prospect, outfielder Evan Carter. He's been on before, but he's going to come on with us again after a good season that he's having right now in Hickory. Evan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing real well. Thanks for coming on. I know you guys had a game last night, so we appreciate you getting up and knocking out the cobwebs and getting on with this. But it looks like the Hickory season's winding down. How are you feeling at this point?
I'm feeling great. Honestly, the body feels really good. You know, it flew by. Honestly, it seems just like a couple weeks ago that we were in spring training. So it's a first full season this year, but it was a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now the last time I saw you was a couple weeks ago in Frisco. I think it was awkward for everybody. I mean, because I don't think they wanted us to see that you were there or know that you'd come to town to see a doc. And then, like, you know, you walked by and we said hi to each other, and it was just kind of a little bit weird. So, were they just giving you kind of a welcome to Frisco, a little introduction of where things might be headed?
No, it was just to be with the trainer there. That's all it was.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of had something going on until I saw the doctor.
Yeah, what did they tell us? An e-bruise or something like that?
Yeah. They just wanted to make sure it wasn't anything more than what it was.
All right. But you didn't seem too worried.
No, I wasn't worried.
Okay, good. What did you think, though, of Frisco?
Facilities.
It's a great ballpark, and it's a loaded.
Yeah, that was my first time being there. It's beautiful for sure.
When you see that, are you like, okay, are you making plans of where you're going to hit the ball out next year, or maybe even later this year? You know, I mean, there's still time. They've got one more series, I guess. It's a road series, but it just seems like that's going to be where you're going to be next year. Are you already thinking that?
Honestly, right now, just trying to be where my feet are. I'm in Hickory right now, so just trying to finish out strong here and not get too far ahead of myself.
All right. So, how do you feel like you've done this season? Obviously, you said it's flown by, but you also mentioned this is your first full professional season after you were dinged up last year with the back deal. How satisfied are you with what you've been able to accomplish?
For me, I feel like I've controlled what I can control, and regardless of the outcomes, I've been happy with my effort and preparation that I feel like I've done to be ready for the season. So that's really all that I can, you know, judge, I guess, are the things that I can control. And I'm really happy with those. So it's been a good year as far as that goes for me.
Yeah, I've never heard this term in baseball, but you have a triple double. You have double figures and doubles. Triples and home runs. You don't see that a lot. Are you coming into your power? Are you seeing balls go over the fence that maybe last year wouldn't have? Are the ballparks there perfect for hitting the ball in the alley and running your butt off? How's that all working out?
Honestly, you know, we've talked, me and Tom talk about it a lot. Actually, we always talk about how power is more of a, is more of a, I guess, hitter's ability rather than actually being, you know, strong or this, that, and the other. And it's, I feel like power always comes the more experience that you have hitting. It's more of an approach thing for me. So hopefully, you know, the more I see pro pitching, the more my approach gets, I guess, more experience it gets. Hopefully that'll start to come a little bit more. And the field in Hickory is great, man. I really like it there. It's definitely, you know, I feel like it's a cool park for lefties and righties both. So it's definitely not a it's definitely not a Greenville field versus 380 down right field.
Some of these minor league parks are great. I mean, you know, there was a period there when I was growing up in John and you too, where the major league ballparks were cookie cutters, you know.
Yep.
You could go like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you know, those three ballparks all
325 down the line, 360 in the alleys, 400 right. Center. That's kind of the way it was all built. Yeah.
But, you know, now with the new construction, there's a lot more.
There's character.
A lot more character. But not like minor leagues. Minor leagues has got character in those ballparks.
Absolutely. So,
for sure. Look. You know, when John mentioned right off the top, Baseball America has you as the Rangers' top prospect. When you hear something like that, what goes through your mind?
Man, honestly, I try not to put too much focus on that or pay too much attention to it. I mean, that's just somebody else's opinion of me. It's not my opinion of me. So, honestly, for me, I try not to give it too much merit or too much value. Just kind of keep trying to do what I'm doing and worry about where I'm at right now.
All right. Well, I mean, it's there are a lot of people, though, who don't do that. And we're but we kind of make our money doing not doing that. But and we talked about this the last time you're on. But like from where things were 2 years ago when you were selected and maybe didn't know who you were.
Yep.
I mean, is there some reward in this? I mean, there's got to be a little reward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it definitely makes you feel happy that, you know, the people that did kind of trust their decisions or, you know, kind of stick their necks out for you and make that decision, you know, you feel proud that you kind of proved them right. For sure. I'm definitely not out here trying to prove people wrong, but I mean, it definitely is rewarding to kind of feel like the people who did kind of trust in that were, you know, didn't make him look stupid.
I hate to say this, but for the Rangers, I hate to say it, COVID was a blessing because no one got to see Evan Carter really go out there and do what he could do.
That's something Kip has said.
And I'm in no way trying to give any kind of thing to COVID, but for the Rangers, it was certainly good that Evan didn't get out there.
Yeah, because, you know, and you've probably heard Kip say this, Evan, that they feel like if you had had your high school season, that people would have known you, then you might have even gone higher. So maybe it wasn't a blessing for you, but it was for the Rangers.
Certainly was.
Yeah. So where are you going to work on this offseason?
Honestly, I think this offseason I'm going to try and, you know, get back in the weight room. Last offseason was a little bit different for me, just trying to be a lot more conservative, just trying to stay healthy throughout the new season coming up, which would have been this year. So I'm probably just going to try and get in the weight room, be a little bit more aggressive this off season than I was last year. Just try and gain a little bit of weight, maybe get stronger, and just kind of try and, you know, get with my hitting guy and always learn something new. There's always stuff to be learned on the offensive side, and that'd probably be it.
What do you weigh right now?
Right now I'm about 190.
Okay, what did you start the season
with that? Trying to maintain that throughout the whole season.
Is that where you started?
I started about 195, so it's not been too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
No, not at all. That means you've kept weight up. I mean, 5 pounds is, for me, 5 pounds is nothing. I can put it on and take it. I can take it off harder, but man, I can put it on with no problem.
So do you have a target in mind? You want to be 200 to start next year?
Setting goals and expectations for me has been something that's almost like a trap for me. I try and set a goal and then you don't get there and it's kind of like crap and you're bummed out that you didn't get there. So I'm just going to try and set out a plan and follow it, and whatever happens at the end of that happens, and just kind of got to be okay with where you're at come next year.
Yeah, and you brought up an interesting point. You really didn't have a normal offseason because you're coming off the back injury and they probably did want to be conservative. Having a long history of back injuries. I completely understand it. But like, you know, it's time. I think if you got through this year without any issues, back's good. You just got to do your core maintenance work.
You played a lot of games.
Like I'm a doctor. Yeah. And, but anyway, I tell you what though, you got to watch out because that week and maybe the 2 weeks after you get married there in December and Christmas, yeah. You're going to put on some pounds, my man.
Yeah, you got to hit that weight room to get that, make that good pounds because you're going to be dealing in some food.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Mr. Carter is going to have a Mrs. Carter here in December on December 17th. So
big congratulations. Yeah,
congratulations on that.
What's your fiance's name?
Kayla.
Kayla. Okay. All right.
Everything falls into order once you get married. I didn't think that was going to be the case. I was a bachelor until I was 33, almost 34.
Yeah, I was 35 when I got married.
Well, there you go. But yeah, start early and enjoy the ride. But yeah, I'm pretty much out of baseball questions. I mean, you answered them all. I mean,
time to go fun.
Yeah, time to go fun with John Warrior and the funny questions.
All right, so we're going to go to the funny stuff. Last time we learned all about you and, you know, where you played ball and you know, other sports you played. I'm going to go on. You played your first full season of minor league baseball. So we're going to talk about the Hickory Crawdads here. What teammate's the funniest in the clubhouse? Who's the funniest guy on the team?
Gosh, man, probably Cody Freeman. Probably he's always doing something funny.
Doing something crazy. Okay, yeah. who's the best dressed? Everywhere you guys go, who is a little more dapper than the rest of you?
Probably Chris Cease. Chris Cease has always got some. He's got good style. I don't have style. I just kind of wear whatever. But he's always got something cool on.
You wear the Bass Pro Shops line there.
Yeah.
Hey man, we talked about it last time. This guy's a hunter. The hunt season's about to start when the season ends. Him and I are going to go out and get white-tailed deer and have some food on the table.
That's right.
All right, what teammate has the best hair?
The best hair? It was probably Trevor Hover before he left. That'd be my guy.
Yeah, he's got some locks, doesn't he? You always get that. Okay, this is always a fun one because you find out who the tough guy is. If you were in a street fight, who's the one teammate you want standing with you if you had to square off?
Oh man, gosh, probably Chris Cece.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen Chris Cece?
Yeah, Simon Spring when we were out there. We talked to Evan actually, but he had already been on. Okay, who's the biggest prankster?
Prankster. Gosh, that probably it would have been Joe Corbett before he left. That's true.
Joe from West Texas.
Joe who?
Joe Corbett.
Corbett, okay.
Yeah.
Remember. All right.
Yeah.
So what's the best prank you've seen? Was there a good prank he played or anything you've seen?
He's always, you know, I mean, I know sometimes you break one of the unwritten rules of baseball or something, kind of like a root court or something, like a kangaroo court. You might come in and all your stuff might just be gone. Like you might hide it somewhere. Like he's always doing something. Yeah.
Well, okay. It's a long season.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta, and you don't have these gigantic clubhouses like you do in Arlington in the major leagues. And you guys are sharing tight quarters. You're sharing bus rides. Yes. You have a roommate. They're your family, man. I mean, you know, that's what they always say. It's,
yep.
They spend more time with the guys than they do with their family. So
absolutely,
you gotta have somebody to keep it light.
Sure. Okay. Are you a seeds or gum guy?
Gum.
Okay. That's pretty easy. Okay. So when you're on a bus ride, you guys go on these bus rides, you know, what do you do on the bus? Do you watch something? Do you read? What do you do on the bus rides?
I'm either asleep or probably watching the movie.
Watching a movie?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you can sleep on a bus?
Yes, man. I'll end up, I can sleep just about anywhere.
Yeah,
that's a good thing to have. I can't do that. My wife can't.
I can't sleep in cars, but my hidden skill is, and it might be my best skill of everything I do. It might be my number one skill is my ability to sleep on an airplane. I fall asleep before takeoff.
I can't do it.
And I pretty much stay out until the pilot comes on and says,
We're making our approach.
You're ready for, stewardesses or flight attendants, prepare the cabin for landing, because I can just do it.
I wish I could do that. I cannot. He can do it on a bus. He can probably do it on a plane.
So what movie? Yeah. Have you seen a good movie lately?
Tom and I are actually right now watching a TV show.
That's what my next question was. What are you guys binge watching?
All right, what are you watching?
Okay, we're watching The Terminal List on Amazon with Chris Pratt in it.
My wife and I watched that.
Yeah, that was good. I saw that. That is good. Yeah.
How many episodes in are you?
We are 3 episodes in right now. So we just started it a couple of days ago. It's kind of hard to find time to watch, but long episodes. But that's what we're on right now.
That's pretty solid.
Any other suggestions for people that y'all watched, some good shows you binge watched?
Man, if we're just killing time, Seinfeld's always on. I really like Seinfeld a lot.
I like Seinfeld too. That's good.
So my wife and I, we watched the Top Gun. You can get it on Netflix.
Yes, it's good.
It was great.
Yeah, Maverick.
It was phenomenal.
You young guys have to understand, that came out my senior year of high school.
I mean, I saw it. I was 10 when it came out or something. When was your senior year of high school?
1986.
All right, I was 12.
Okay, so 1986 it came out. That was we had a movie review in our school newspaper. The time I wrote was when I wrote for the school newspaper doing that. So, okay, got to go back to you, though. Besides Hickory playing in that stadium, what's your favorite road stadium you played at this year?
Not Greenville.
Greenville.
Yeah. You do like Greenville? All right. Even with the long right field?
Ball flies there. Even with the long fence, it flies there.
Okay.
That's a good answer for a dinner.
Greenville, that's good.
Pitcher might have a different opinion.
Okay, last thing we're going to get on it. For you minor leaguers, it's kind of the same, because If you're not in your apartment there that they've got you, you're in a hotel room on the road. What's your routine? How does it? What about what time are you up? What do you eat? What do you do before you get to the park? Tell me your daily routine as a ball player.
Yeah, so I mean, I probably wake up around 9:30, try and get around 9 hours of sleep or so. So I wake up around 9:30. Tom and I always make breakfast, and then we'll end up just kind of hanging out until lunch, cook some lunch, and most days we're at the field by 1:30, 2 o'clock. So it varies every day at the field, but just go through our routines, hitting this, that, or the other, and then play the game, get done, head out by around 10:30, and eat dinner at 10:30, and then do it all over again. So it's kind of the same thing every day, just depending on what time we have to get to the field.
Well, that's why it's called a routine.
So who
makes the better breakfast? Or are you guys just eating cereal?
We cook ground beef and eggs, and we'll have like a smoothie or something in the morning. So it's kind of our, we're doing a weird diet right now. So
it's called a gain weight diet.
Yeah, it's like protein diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You guys, you're not like me. You guys need to be shoving in that grub, dude. They're going to keep the energy up, man.
And I'd say it every episode. It's unbelievable how much baseball players eat. It's shocking. It's shocking.
But they have to. Yeah. When you work out as much and do as much energy as these guys do, you have to. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember David Murphy, the former Rangers outfielder.
Yeah.
When he played, I mean, he's 6'3", and he was built a lot like you.
Yes, he is a lot like you, yes.
He ate more than anybody on the team. Like, his favorite restaurant was Cheesecake Factory because of the serving size. I mean, he would crush food. It's unbelievable. And
hey, when you get to Frisco, you can go to the Cheesecake Factory. There's a few of them up there that he was probably at.
We'll give you a couple different recommendations.
Absolutely. You come over here, we're going to polish off some good barbecue or something when you come and see him next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else for Evan before we let him get out of here?
No, but congrats on a lot of things, making it through your first season, the wedding. Being one of the top prospects in the organization and one of the top 100 in baseball. So I think that a lot of people pull for you because of the 2020 draft and the feedback you got.
Yeah.
You may not be giving people the big middle finger, but I think a lot of people are. So
appreciate that.
So congrats on that.
Hey, also let Tom know that we have already talked. We do plan on getting Tom on here at some point. I know he's not feeling great right now, but we give him a heads up that he is coming on this show too. So we maybe this offseason we'll get a hold of him and we'll reach out. But we want to get Sagisi on here too. I called him Sagisi when I met him at Three Jersey. But we didn't know how to say it, but give him a heads up that it's coming. But Evan, hey buddy, appreciate it. Congrats on the great season and what you've accomplished. Look forward to the wedding. I mean, obviously, it's a big time for you. We're really proud of you on the wedding and want to congratulate you here from Rangers today. And you'll be here in AA next year. We're going to see you then. But Bud, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right. That's Evan Carter, outfielder for the Texas Rangers, top prospect according to Baseball America. Right after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. Thanks, Evan.
All right, that was Evan Carter, outfielder for the Texas Rangers, and according to Baseball America, number one prospect in the Ranger system. Evan, thanks for coming on. It's time now. We need to go down the bus leagues. Let's touch on them. They still got a couple weeks left.
Yeah.
We go down. We start at the bottom of the league, and we're going to go up. ACL, anything? Are they done?
They're done.
They're done. Did yeah, they win? They got beat.
They lost their one playoff game. It's just single elimination, and the Dominican summer league team lost in its first game. So, but
both of them made the playoffs, and then both of them.
Well, there's two teams. The DSL has two teams, so the better team made it to the postseason. But anyway,
yeah,
you know, if you look at it that way, there's if you count six affiliates or six teams, all have winning records,
right?
Which is not too shabby.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what. Down East is barely hanging on to the winning record. Uh-oh. Down East is the low A team. They're the youngest full season affiliate. Overall, they're 65-64, so that's only one game over 500. 32-31 in the second half. They're 5-5 of their last 10. They lost last night. Look, these are the kids. These are the young ones. Mitch Bratt is doing well there.
Mitch Bratt. I mean, they have good pitching. You know, Winston Santos, Emiliano Teodo got beat last night, but he pitched okay.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot to Hickory.
Yeah, a lot of kids are getting promoed up.
Yeah,
and
yeah, and they have some of the Dominican kids that I wrote about at RangersToday.com. I guess they weren't all Dominicans. Latin kids.
Yeah.
Three of the four in the story I wrote in July have moved up and are playing. Our good buddies Cam Colley and Ian Mahler
are starting to figure it out
a little bit more, getting comfortable. Yosi Gallan has had a lot of home runs, a little inconsistency, which
right,
you know, he's raw and still needs to figure out how to hit the breaking ball, but not bad. There's a good crop of talent in that wave. I don't know which wave it is. I don't know if it's the third wave or what wave, but you know, there's talent at every level.
Yeah, and you go to Hickory. Hickory is the high A team. They were one of the more talented teams, but they've been kind of picked and cherry picked out of there too.
Yeah.
66-63 overall. They're 28-35 in the second half. Scuttled a bit, not really their fault. They just some players have been promoted. 4-6 in their last 10. They did win last night.
Yeah.
You know, a few guys there that you got to take notice to. The guy we just talked to,
sure,
obviously, his roommate who's had a good year.
Yeah,
Thomas Sagisi.
Yeah, he's hitting over 300. You know, he was the fifth round pick in that 5-round draft in 2020.
Both of them were in that 5-round
right,
draft.
High school kid.
Pepperdine. He's going
player.
To Pepperdine.
Right. Interesting player. You know, when you look at him and talk to him, he kind of reminds me of Adam Rosales, kind of that physique. You know, I think he's a more talented offensive player than Adam.
Doesn't use batting gloves.
Very versatile. Can play a lot of positions. The Rangers have a lot of guys like that, obviously, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
You know, and you never know what's going to happen 3 or 4 years down the line. But he's
sure.
He's a good one. Obviously, Evan, who's the, you know, the nicest guy around. You know,
you just saw,
and yeah. and he had two hits last night, buoyed by our conversation. And
yes,
Anyway, he's a good one, and you know, the pitching staff, Larson Kendrich, who started at Down East, has pitched there. Josh Steffen from Grand Prairie here has been promoted. Yeah. TK Roby struck out 12 last night. So, you know, there's still good things happening there, and there's nothing wrong with having a full season there. You know, these, like, Roby is so young, you know, and he barely pitched so last Evan. Year. Evan's yeah, like, Evan's night just turned
20, right?
Yeah. So it's okay if these guys don't get bumped up, you know.
It's not an indication on them. Right, it's just you've got four teams that have you got to get playing time for everybody.
And you don't have to rush these guys.
No.
They can get a full season with one team and get the idea of how to travel and how to prepare every day and how to stay strong at the end of the season. And it looks like a lot of those guys are doing that.
Yeah. So we're going to go to Double A, and when Double A comes up, I always think it was it Jim Mora that did it. Playoffs.
Yeah.
Playoffs. I mean, right. Frisco is 70-58, 34-25 in the second half, 7-3 in their last 10. They've won two in a row, and they're sitting in first place right now.
That's
this
good.
Team looks yeah. like they have a good chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know it would be an added bonus, I think, if to put them in a playoff scenario, put Jack Leiter in a playoff situation,
sure.
see what the competitive side if it comes out, you know, and he's pitched better, of course. Cody Bradford pitched really well
yeah,
last night,
yeah,
and,
did
it,
good.
And he's been really good like the last month or 6 weeks. He's been very, very good.
I think Englert goes tonight.
Mason Englert's been great. You know, in his first start at Double A, he pitched well in that 22-1. We'll
this guy right here,
the 22-1 game, that was his debut. He gave up the one run in six something innings, and he'll pitch tonight. And then, yeah, offensively, they still have a lot. You know,
yeah.
you know, I know Dustin Harris is out for the year, but Blaine Krim last week was the Texas League Player of the Week. Hit home runs in five straight games. Hit six home runs in five games. Had a big hit. I think it was. Wednesday night, Justin Foscue also
still hitting the ball
around.
Good.
Hit, you know, he's a guy, a story coming up here either this week or next week for Friday on the Farm. So Aaron Zavala, Jonathan Ornelas has been just great all year, you know. And so they have the offense. They have the pitching. So, yeah, they sounds like a playoff team. And last year they were so close to the playoffs, lost the last game. And that
– yeah. In Amarillo, weren't they? In Amarillo, yeah, yeah. And that's where they ended up losing.
It was a crazy game.
Yeah. I tell you what, and out of all those guys, it has just intrigued me, and maybe because we had him on. But Aaron Zavala has been the guy that I have just focused in on this year. This guy reminds – this could be the next Rusty Greer. This is a guy that could finally get his chance, get to the big leagues, and he may never go down. This guy knows how to select pitches. He drives the ball when yeah. he gets a hold of it. He puts a barrel on it every time. Now he's playing with the balls they're going to use in the big leagues. You know, it was weird. He kind of started weird at high A this year and had a lot of walks, wasn't getting
yeah.
– but he
yeah.
probably wasn't seeing good pitching,
right.
And he was very selective. But then all of a sudden it clicked, and I'm going to tell you right now, that guy, every time I watch his at-bats, because I can watch it on my little app there, this guy is comfortable at the plate, and he looks good.
Yeah, wrote about him last week for Friday on the Farm at RangersToday.com. And, you know, he's probably not as fast as Rusty Greer, but he does a lot of good things. You know, he has good rhythm at the plate.
Dirty uniform guy that
yeah,
is always sure, getting the hits
sure.
when
and
you need
and that's kind of one of the things that has been said about him is he's just a hard-nosed, scrappy guy, plays hard, and that's kind of infectious and gets sent throughout the rest of the team and kind of sets a tone. So
it was a good interview too.
Yeah, good interview, good guy, you know. That whole medical anomaly that the Rangers called it last year during the draft that made us all wonder what was going on. It's just something, a growth on his spine that he said is no problem.
Right.
Just got to get it checked out. And apparently I don't know that it was as bad as they initially thought. So,
right.
I think that's even better news, but yeah, keep an eye on him, because I think as he climbs and the pitching gets better and the umpires get better, it's going to be more advantageous for him.
Absolutely. And I've said he is the guy that's forcing his way up everywhere.
Sure.
You want one of those. That's the guy that keeps forcing his way to where he goes when he makes the big leagues. And I think he does it next year. I think at some point, now he's not going to start the year. Yeah. They're just not going to let him start. I don't care what he does in spring. He's going to start at Triple A, or at least Double A or Triple A.
Yeah.
But that's the guy that when he gets here, it's because you just can't ignore it anymore. And someone's not doing what they want on the big league team, and they're going to get him here, or some other team's going to come in and just steal him away, and we're going to get some good pitching for him. Go to Round Rock AAA. They're 73-59, still doing well. 7-3. They've won one. Zach Kent is shoving up there.
Sure. Another team that
they're right there in it.
They're right there in the mix. They're not in the playoffs right now, but they're close. Zach Kent, boy, he pitched well again. In his second start last night, 6 2/3 scoreless. So I think he's allowed one run in 12 1/3 or 12 innings. And good for him. Rule 5 guy. So maybe this is maybe he's auditioning for other teams here and doesn't know it, but the Rangers are giving him an audition because, you know, they have so many Rule 5 guys.
Right.
Blaine Crim's one of them. Mason Engler, who we just talked about. Jonathan Ornelas. Zach Kent, Acuna, Josh Young, they took care of that.
Right.
We'll later today when they put him on the 40-man roster.
Is there an open 40 spot?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So they're not having to DFA anyone. Okay.
Colwin, Owen White. I mean, I could keep going, spitting out names of Rule 5 guys, and you can't protect them all. You're going to have to either risk losing some of them or you're going to try to trade some of them.
And
look, as the Rangers navigate this offseason, we've kind of talked about the pitching market's not great. So do you try to acquire pitching? And if you do, you're
going to have to give up.
Ideally, you may want to trade some of these Rule 5 guys. And you see those trades happen a lot. I mean, Brock Burke was a Rule 5 guy.
Right.
And so there are a lot of – it's just – there's so much at play this offseason. And this Rule 5 group – which includes Davis Wenzel, who's at AAA, and he's been really pretty good since he's come back from his latest injury.
Right.
So there are guys who are in the system who you like right now who may not be in the system come springtime or even come mid-November.
Yeah, after Christmas. Yeah. I mean, they might not make it Christmas. That's a good problem to have. And when you there were years that the Rangers didn't have but one or two guys they protected. And now they've got to look, and I mean, look, you could go as deep as 10 to 15 that might be attracted to somebody, and you cannot protect 10 to 15 guys. You don't have that space to do that.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, something's going to, I'm telling you guys, look, I know the season's going to end, but this offseason, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be stuff going, and we are not taking off unless it's family time and we have to go somewhere for family, but when you're all off for your holidays, that's about it.
Well, the Rangers protected 3 guys last year, and I thought they could have protected 6. But they've already taken care of 3 with Young, Cole Reagans, and Bubba Thompson. Mm-hmm. They're, putting them on the 40-man in season is basically protecting them from, something that was going to happen in the offseason anyway.
Right.
So then you just, you got to figure it out. Maybe Martin Perez doesn't re-sign, if he's going to re-sign, until after they set the 40-man, because they want to have a certain group of guys protected. But, you'll see some guys who come off the roster. You got to add a few 60-day guys onto the roster. So it's juggling a lot. Like Cole Calhoun will come off because he's going to be a free agent.
Right.
Charlie Culberson, Matt Moore technically will come off. And I'm sure I'm leaving out guys, but those are the guys who are going to come off the roster. So that'll create some space, but
they'll DFA some they're at the end of their time here.
Yeah. And so you just gotta, they may DFA some guys who are prospects who are on the 40-man. You're like, well, I gotta choose this guy or this guy.
And right now he's higher on my list than you are, and good luck to you. And hey, let me tell you what, for any of these guys that are 40-man eligible, that are Rule 5 eligible, this is because they have done what they have asked, that the Rangers find themselves in a tough spot. They are attractive to other teams, so you've either got to protect them or risk losing them. They've played their way into knocking on the door somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's on this team or whether they go in the Rule 5 draft or they get moved because they're close to being 40-man eligible, like you said, where they got to do something. Everyone, kudos to all of them. They've earned their way here. It's good to have a deep system. You wish them all the best. And when, if you're blocked and you need to go somewhere else, it's because you're playing good. That's why, that's why the stuff happens.
And that's why there's a Rule 5 draft. That's why, you know, it's a thing. It, you know, it's
protects them from
protects
having
players from being blocked and being stuck in the minor leagues for all their whole career. And so, yeah, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's a bad thing if you lose a bunch of guys.
Yeah. Well, for the Rangers, it's bad, but the Rangers want to compete, and they've got to make some tough choices.
Sure, and you know they can always add a guy in the Rule 5 draft.
That's, absolutely,
that's,
if there's someone
a possibility
else.
Too. So.
Well, anything else before we get out of here? You know, they I guess they're trying to start a union in the minor leagues, but
I don't know. Whatever.
We'll see what happens there. I guess they're all on board for that. I think that's going to trim down even less minor leaguers if that ends up coming. That's my personal opinion, and I don't know what will happen there.
I don't know if they have a lot of leverage. I mean, are you gonna are 1,000 minor league players going to go on strike? I can't see that ever happening.
That hurts the little towns that they're in. It doesn't hurt anyone.
The big league team wouldn't have a lot of depth, but you know, 40 man guys would still not be able to strike even if they're in the minor leagues. So
yeah,
a team could probably survive for a little while. It'd be just like 2020, you know.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know. And then there's going to be some rule changes, apparently. You know, the bigger bases, the pitch clock shift. The proposal is, you know, two infielders have to be on the same, on each side of second base, and have to be on the edge of the, no further than the edge of the grass. Yeah, I think that'll help offense. It actually might hurt a guy like Nate Lowe, who's really good at going the other way and has benefited from, he's been one of the guys that has beat the shift. But
yeah.
I don't know. Baseball's changing, and
got to roll with it.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to get out of here. If you're going out to the ballpark tonight, I mean, this will probably air after the ball game tonight. Josh Young's here for the weekend. Good stuff happening out at Frisco. Might be a surprise player there. Can't announce that yet, but there's someone that might be getting some work out at Frisco today.
Ricky Venasco. I mean, I already reported it. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean,
okay.
But this is their last. This is their last homestand.
Yeah, and so don't know if he's going to get a start out there this weekend. I thought they set their rotation, but he'd probably get an inning or two.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably will make a little appearance, and good for Ricky.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Hasn't had the year he wanted for sure, but you know what? His first year back from Tommy John.
This is his first full year. I
mean, 111 strikeouts in 87 innings. That's what you want.
Yeah.
That guy's right. Making a case. Guys, we're going to get out of here.
$5.99 a month, $60 a year, $35 for 6 months at rangersday.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so that we can start monetizing this thing and doing more great stuff. So,
absolutely.
That's all I got.
That's it. Guys, till next time. We'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.